This is the Mormon Mixed Faith Marriage Podcast with Certified Life Coach Brooke Booth, episode number 133. So you probably noticed that I like to use this podcast to share some of my thoughts, to put together ideas that have been running through my brain around relationships and mixed faith marriage and share them here. And today is no different. So I've been really thinking about some concepts. Approval and love. And I think sometimes how we conflate them, confuse them, value them. And I want to talk about that. And this is a pretty personal podcast. See, this is reflecting a lot of my own experience. And so I want to own that. And this may not be how you think about it or how it shows up for you, but this is certainly how it's showing up for me. And if this is helpful to you, glad to help. And if it's not, skip it, move on to the next. So let me start by saying this. I love my husband and my husband loves me. I don't think that's ever really in question. And with so many of my clients, I think that's 100% true. Love is not the problem. There is love there. There are people I talk to who are separated, divorce, they still love each other. Like, love is still real and true for them. And I think that's just interesting to know based on some things I'm going to say later about approval. But for so many people who come to me, love is not in question. They care, they want each other to be happy. Love is real. But having that love there doesn't eliminate problems in marriage. It doesn't eliminate real struggles and real pain and real issues. And that's something that I think some people struggle to understand is while love is powerful and wonderful and lovely, there are sometimes other things going on in a relationship that need to be looked at and understood. So I want to look at approval in comparison to love, because I think the two are often, like, I think a lot of times, I realize this is, again, this is where this is all about me and my own experience and my own unpacking, is I started to realize that for me, approval and love were very closely intertwined. And when I could start to separate them out and understand them as different concepts, it helped me to understand what I was experiencing. And it helped me to understand how I wanted to move forward in the relationship I had with my husband. So I want to talk about that here. But first, I wanted to premise with this idea that I really, truly think most couples I work with, and probably you listening, truly love your spouse. I don't think that is often a huge hurdle that we have to overcome. Approval might be a little bit different. Okay, here's what I want to say about that. Before we go deep into approval, I want to suggest an idea here. And this is an idea that's pretty commonly found in the therapeutic world. And I think it's probably because it's largely true that a lot of the patterns in our relationships stem from childhood. They're really just a continuation of patterns formed in childhood. And this makes a lot of sense when you think just about how the brain works. Like, if we developed a neural pathway in childhood, we're still going to be using that neural pathway as adults. Like, just time and age isn't going to change that. A neural pathway is a neural pathway, and the brain likes to be efficient. And if there's a certain way it's developed pathways around relationships, that's pretty much going to stay the same as we grow up. And what's interesting is once we've established a neural pathway, we tend to just keep using it as the brain is efficient. And until that's questioned and replaced with another one, we're just going to keep using that same neural pathway regardless of its actual benefit to our lives and our goals and our happiness. I mean, that's just part of how our efficient brains work. So I look at that because it can be really helpful to look at your childhood, your relationship with your parents then, your parents' relationship with each other to help understand some of your own patterns in your relationship now. Like, again, you've got those same neural pathways, and until you've questioned them, have created new ones, likely chance that you're just rinsing and repeating how you showed up in past relationships or how you saw other people show up in past relationships, and then adopt that as, you know, the right way or the way that relationships work. So for me personally, I was getting really curious around, okay, like what was I taught about relationships? What kinds of relationships did I see modeled for me? You know, how were women generally taught? How are women generally perceived? Because that's my experience. And so that's the perspective that I look at it. And I got really curious, like, how was my parents' relationship? Very interesting and helpful work there. But then I started to realize something else, because I was certainly raised Mormon. I was certainly raised in the LDS church. That was absolutely infused into everything that we did and all of our teachings and all of our interactions, that I started to realize there was another relationship here that I needed to look at in order to understand what I was experiencing today in my relationship with my husband. And that was my relationship with God. So this is my story, and it may be different than yours, depending on what you were taught and what you internalized. And I'm no way going to suggest that you receive the same teachings as me or internalize teachings in the same way. This is my situation, but it might be helpful for you to see how I internalize things and how I understood things, just so you can start to shine that light on your own internal world. So, like I said, I was raised LDS for sure, and I was taught to model everything after, you know, we Heavenly Father is what we called him, but basically after God. You know, God will show us how to be the best parent, the best spouse, the best everything. Like, you can apply, like, what you learn from him, you can apply to absolutely every situation, and that's going to be the best example to follow. It's fail-proof. That's who you want to be your benchmark, your standard, all your aspirations, all your motivations. Focus them there. You're going to be fine. And so that's exactly what I did. And here's what, as I look back, here's how I internalized my relationship with God and how it's impacted my relationship today. So for me, I was taught and I believed fully that God loved all of his children, all of them. It's a lovely message. It was something we hear week after week after week after week, going to primary and young women's and all of the meetings, is like, that was never once questioned. Everybody believed it. Everybody celebrated it, that God loved all his children. It's a lovely, lovely message. But what came along with that message, something that I think is even more important for my own internalization, and that was sort of the but after that. God loves all his own children, but there are some he approves of more. There are some that everybody has his love, but there are some that have his approval as well. Now, this caught my attention. This was really important to me. I was like, this is the important bit, the approval bit. This is the part I need to be very, very conscious of, very aware of, and highly cultivate in me, is to make sure I'm not just somebody God loves, because that's just everybody. That's no big deal. There's no value in that. I need to be somebody whom God approves. That's the real important piece. That's the golden ticket. That's where I need to be really putting my attention and my energy. And I was able to quickly understand that he approved of those who joined his church, were really obedient, exactly obedient even, who made and kept their covenants, who raised their children to do the same. And I understood that this was a very few, very select group. You know, this was the peculiar people. This was the chosen generation. These were the elect. And I wanted very much to be approved by God. And so, as you well know, I've shared my story here before. I did all the things. I was very conscientious and diligent in all of the things related to faith and practice and obedience so that I could be approved. And here's what I learned is that, like, here's what, how I internalized it and how it relates to my marriage is that love is not what I valued or sought. I valued approval. I sought approval. That's what really mattered. It was much more important having somebody approve of you than having somebody love you. So this is going to have implications, obviously, in my relationships. Certainly, I saw this with my own parents. I was a very good girl. I still am in so many regards. I didn't give my parents much stress or worry because my primary focus is their daughter was to seek their approval. So of course I followed the rules happily and, you know, got all the necklaces and did all the things I was supposed to, went on a mission, BYU, all those things, because their approval was highly valuable to me. It wasn't that their love didn't matter to me. It just was definitely secondary to their approval. So fast forward to being married, I have a husband now, you know, at the age of 24, and I needed to develop, garnish, preserve his approval. I wanted him to think I was good, that I'm nice, that I'm pleasant, that I'm helpful, that I follow all the rules and meet his expectations, because that's how I understood approval. It's a lot of anticipating their expectations and meeting those. It's a lot of anticipating, like knowing what they prefer, what their rules are, what their protocols are, and making sure I'm following those. And if I have approval, it means I have safety. It means I have blessings. It means I have good things, nice favors coming my way. And if I don't have approval, I lack safety and it's painful and it means I've done something wrong. Like I have truly done something wrong to not be approved of. And so, of course, I needed to garner his approval at all costs. And that's a significant thing to say, but I think for me, it was very, very much true. That approval was more important than my health, my desires, my dreams, my wants, my needs. Approval was much more important, even more important than love. So that was the pattern that, you know, was set in my relationships. I don't think it's that uncommon. I think we do this in many relationships, in many situations. You know, as a student, I wanted the approval of my teachers. You know, as a wife, I wanted the approval of my husband. As a daughter, I wanted the approval of my parents. Just like I wanted the approval of God. When I had a same faith marriage, I'm not going to say it was super easy. Meeting somebody else's expectations all the time is work, but I could pull it off. Most of what I did could be approved of by my husband. There were a few aberrations to that, but I would do my best to get in line and get that approval that I needed, that I thought I needed for my safety. And then comes my faith transition, and you're probably already anticipating this curve on the road. This is a Mormon mixed faith marriage podcast after all. So then came my faith transition, and basically what that did very abruptly is put approval now out of reach. There was simply no way in the way I could understand my husband's theology and beliefs, there was simply no way he could now approve of me if I was no longer a believing member of the church. At the time, and I think it's probably still true, I was still able to navigate that faith transition because I had another value that was more important maybe than approval, my husband's approval, and that was my own sense of self-integrity. It was very strong and well-developed in me, as was taught to me in the church. This is the idea that I need to do what's right, even if others disapprove. Now, that's an interesting situation to be in, where approval is absolutely important. But if I am following my sense of integrity and what I think is right and just and true, then that needs to go before other people's approval. And so that's in large part why I was able, I believe, to actually have a faith transition and step away from the church, because that message and value was taught to me as well. And that's one that I had developed in me. And so here I was now, doing what I felt was truly right, really having a sense of integrity and like a clear conscience around that, but facing disapproval in my marriage. And that meant basically I could be rejected at any moment, that I was no longer safe. You know, I wasn't going to get the blessings or the favors or the nice things the way that I could rely on that before. And this is really tough. Now, notice, I didn't ever question if my husband loved me. I was pretty sure he loved me. I knew I loved him. Everyone gets love. My husband is, you know, maybe you've heard of like the proverbial nice guy. That's certainly my husband. I knew that he was going to be nice to me. He's nice to everybody. Just like God loves everybody, God's going to like that. That's not the scarce resource here. Being like loved and being nice, that's easy. Like that, everybody gets that. That's just handed out freely. Approval was the more rare commodity here. And now I felt like I no longer had that approval in the marriage. Yes, I still had love, but I didn't have approval. And I think that's part of the distinction I was trying to make at the beginning, is so many people come to me and they still love each other dearly. Love is not in question, but there's a fundamental shift in the relationship and it doesn't feel safe and it feels tenuous and it feels like eggshells and it feels scary and unsteady. And I think this is in large part because the shift that happens in a mixed faith marriage around approval, and depending on your own socialization and how you've internalized that and the messages you received, like for me, that was a very significant thing, because approval meant a lot, as it was tied to safety and security. And those are big things to have your relationship tied to. Those are some really core basic needs. And to feel that those are threatened or that they're not stable anymore can be quite the shift to experience in your relationship. So you're like, okay, Brooke, that's all nice. I think I might relate to some of that. So what does that mean? Like, what do I do with this other than maybe just squirm and feel terrible for the next 30 years of my marriage? I want to make a few comments about that. Like, I have a few things. And one is, a lot of times at this point, we seek approval in a myriad of other ways. Okay, I'm not going to get it by being that obedient, diligent, conscientious member of the church. So I'm going to prove now to my spouse all of these other ways I'm virtuous and kind and of good report and lovely and praiseworthy, so that I'll still get that approval. And that's certainly something I did. And I see clients do this all the time, trying to prove to their spouse, see, I'm a good person. See, I'm a generous person. See, I'm a nice person. See, I'm a thoughtful parent. See, I'm less judgmental. I'm more generous than ever. And a lot of times this is just trying to seek that approval. You know, our goodness, our proving our goodness goes into hyperdrive. So One, the first thing I'd recommend if you think this pattern might be something you can relate to is awareness. Start to notice your need for approval. Watch it. Get curious about it. This is part, like the story I'm telling you about myself is like, this is me getting really curious about like, why am I seeking approval? What might be driving that? And starting to understand that and starting to, when we have some understanding around that, it's so much easier to let it go or to have compassion for ourselves and to start to choose other options because we understand why we're seeking this instead of it being some like life or death something. We're like, okay, I understand. I can let this go because I understand. Where if we don't understand, we're like, I can't let this go. Maybe this is, you know, I open this up and we're all sucked into outer space. Like understanding matters. So the first thing here is if you think you might relate to this or this might be a dynamic in your marriage is just to start looking around and developing some awareness around this. Do I seek approval on certain things more than others? Is there certain situations where I want approval more than others? Just start to understand what's going on with you around your approval seeking. This is not like something to beat yourself up about or to try to cut out of you like cancer. This is just something to understand. We all do this to one degree or another. And it's good to just see how we're doing it, why we're doing it, and understand that. The second thing I want you to consider is, can you start to give yourself your own approval? This is a big deal, by the way. I'm jumping to a pretty big thing, but I want to give you some big ideas here to consider if this is something you face. And that's this idea of, can your experience of approval be an internal experience, internally generated instead of externally sourced? That can take some work. That can take a lot of awareness, a lot of unpacking, creating some new beliefs, creating some new neural pathways. I don't want to present this as something that's super simple and easy, like changing underwear. It's not. This takes some work. But again, I want you to have some ideas here on what to do with this when you notice this. So first, start developing awareness. And two, start to get curious around, can you generate your own approval? Can it be something that's internally generated instead of externally sourced? And the third thing, and this one I particularly like for me personally, this has been very helpful for me personally, is to start to develop a sense of innate worthiness, of inherent worthiness, of worthiness as my default like factory settings, if you will, that there's nothing that I can say or do or accomplish or not accomplish that will make me less approving, like worthy of approval, that will make me less worthy. These can be ways to start to internally develop your own source of approval. Is to start to develop the idea of your own inherent worthiness. And again, it's easy to say. This is something for me personally has taken me years to develop. Years of self-development work to move from a position of externally sourcing my worthiness and externally sourcing approval to internally sourcing it. It is taking me years of recognizing beliefs that perpetuate an external sourcing of my worthiness and approval to creating internal beliefs. And it's something I'm still working on very actively. I mean, this idea has come up just in the last few weeks for me very freshly and very strongly to realize that, while I've done a ton of work in this area, I still do have a lot of needs for that external approval. And I probably always will. We probably all will as humans, and that's okay. We're not ever going to eliminate that. but it just gives me some awareness on what I might want to do to help manage that and to make sure that my own internal approval and my own internal worthiness is also nurtured and developed. So if this is something that resonates with you, these are some like big picture kind of things to consider. Let me just repeat them. The three things are: start to develop some awareness around your own approval seeking. Why are you doing this? Just get curious, not to blame yourself or beat yourself up, just to understand. Three, can you start to create an internal sense of approval? Can you start to have that dialogue with yourself where you can insource approval instead of outsource it? And then the third thing is, and then again, this is bigger, is can you sort of catapult that into creating this belief of worthiness and wonderfulness and approvalness as just who you are, regardless of what you do or say or behave or believe or don't believe? The reason I say these things is because I think when we can come to a relationship really firm in our own sense of self-worth and in generating our own approval, we're just much, we're less needy. And there's nothing wrong with being needy, but sometimes being needy in a relationship can be taxing on the relationship. When we're less needy, we have so much more space to enjoy the person because we don't need stuff from them. We can just enjoy being with them. There's so much more space to enjoy the time together, to enjoy what's happening in the relationship because we don't need so much from it. It's easier to give and to luxuriate in the relationship when we're not so starved of approval or looking for approval because it's creating our sense of safety or security in the world. It gives us a very different platform from which to operate and function in the relationship. If you are getting all sorts of thoughts about this, pull out a piece of paper and start journaling and see what comes up for you. See what your thoughts and feelings are on this. If you want to get some help on this, as always, go to my website, brookboothcoaching.com. Take a look at my online courses. I have a really great one for mixed faith marriages that might be a really good fit for you. And I wish you the very best in your Mormon mixed faith marriage.